Welcome back to another episode of From Sunday to Sabbath. We were once a Sunday church. We are now a Sabbath-keeping, Torah-observant community. And this podcast is all about that, is working ourselves through the weeds and trying to figure out what does it really mean to live a life for Yeshua and walking out this obedience to the Torah. With me, of course, is our co-host, is Mr.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Tyler Utkoff. Good to see you.
You might want to talk into your mic like you're like talking that way. So it's really cool. I give him such a hard time, guys. You have realized like what I'm working with. Okay. So this is Tyler Utkoff.
Yep.
That's him. This is not. Okay. So I don't want you to mess those up because that could be like, you should have seen us trying to get all this equipment, set up. You notice that it's scrambling, right? And we things look a little different. We've got a different background. We're actually in our worship gathering. We thought we'd have more room, and we need more room because we were doing it in my office, and just the last episode, we actually did it in with Tyler at his house and me at my house. We're just trying to figure this whole thing out. A lot of people don't realize what it takes to put together a podcast.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, especially one that's good.
Yeah, we've been doing this for, what, 2.5 hours now?
We said we were going to start at 10:30.
Yeah, what time is it?
It's now... it's 1:20 something, yeah. Like 1:20. And so that was my partner's phone, so if you heard that. Anyhow, we are going to open up another can of worms, and we're really going to continue on. This would really be episode 3, right,
yeah,
of the topic.
So.
Right? So if you're not familiar, you can go about 4 episodes back, I think, because we did something on Pesach.
Easter in the Bible was the last one.
Yeah. Was Easter in the Bible the last?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So we've been out. Like, I was out of town for a little bit been taking kind of a hiatus. I've been here. I've been working, obviously, but just taking some time off. And Tyler and another pastor, Pastor Dustin Crable, have been taking over the teaching here. And I've been just kind of doing administrative stuff, preparing for a couple more weeks ahead and just trying to catch up with some stuff. Because pastors only work
one day a week.
You just
work one day a week.
One day a week.
You're not busy.
We're not busy at all. We're lazy. really, yeah, that's what we do. We work one day a week. But today, like, we're really gonna get into some deep stuff.
Yes. Yeah. We're gonna be talking about the Levitical priesthood and how just the whole kind of transition of what happened with Yeshua and how he's kind of changed a little bit of things. You know, we still keep the commandments, but in aspects regarding the temple and the priesthood and the sacrifices, those things have been changed, you know.
And I think that's the word. I think you're using the correct word when you say changed.
Yeah.
Because I think what we're going to get into today is immediately, I think, the knee-jerk reaction that we've heard from even from people, right, is, mm-hmm. Well, what about Matthew 5:7-23?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What about these verses where Yeshua said, do not think that I came to abolish the Torah?
Yeah.
And so the instant reaction is, oh, you're changing the Torah. You're changing the Torah. And really, we're not. Like, we didn't change it. The Bible is clear that there was an exchange.
Yeah.
The Bible is clear that there was a change of office, if you want to say, right?
Yeah, of the guard, basically,
That's perfect, right? Yeah. It's a changing of the guard. Yeah. It's changing like how things are done.
Yes.
You know, and I want to bring an example of that as we get ready to go into this. Like, and we're going to get some really deep stuff, but a great example, really two great examples that I think most people would relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first example is circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
So I get this a lot. Like, does that mean we're no longer required to be circumcised? I just had this conversation with someone in our community about circumcision and how they believe that the statement that was made, and I love this brother. He's a great guy. And what the statement that he made was absolutely completely off, and I let him know that. And the statement that he made was, if you really loved Yeshua and you really, this is his statement, and you really wanted to obey the Torah, then I guess you would go get circumcised. And I had to stop him. I said, man, you got to guard yourself on that. He's like, well, you know what I mean. I'm like, no, what you just said was, if I don't get circumcised, I really don't love Yeshua and I don't really want to walk in obedience to the Torah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I bring that up for this reason, is that it changed.
Mm.
So,
right.
True or false, we still need to be circumcised.
False.
No, true.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, of the Spirit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're the Bible's clear. We don't get circumcised right. by man's hands anymore.
Right, right. Yeah.
But we're circumcised. Paul says that we're circumcised.
Yeah, of the heart, and by the circumcision of Christ.
That's right, right. Of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So now, so circumcision still exists.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So circumcision has not been done away with. Mm-hmm. So that would line up to Scripture and to Torah, where they say that circumcision will be for,
right.
you know, for all generations.
Right.
And it's true.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of, it's really even in Deuteronomy 30, when, you know, Yahweh says, like, after you're in your captivity and you're in your punishment phase, that, take my glasses off, probably a glare, but he's saying that when you're in your captivity, that when you turn to me with your heart, all your heart, then he will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed
right.
to love him
right.
and keep his commandments.
Right.
And so that's really what he's looking for. He's looking for the circumcision of the heart.
That's the covenant.
That's the covenant. And so, and that's what Yeshua does. And
right.
that's the whole thing of kind of like what we're talking about really is the fact that Aaron could not give you the circumcision of the heart.
No.
You know, Levi couldn't, a son of Aaron could not administer to you the forgiveness and the cleansing of sin. You know, it couldn't happen.
No.
And that's what Yeshua is accomplishing as high priest. He is circumcising your heart, the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh.
Yeah, and before you get too far ahead, I want to make sure that, I want to bring that second example around.
Yeah.
Okay, so we dealt with circumcision, and we showed, right, we're showing that, and it's real basics, is that it changed.
Mm-hmm.
That circumcision, the circumcision, it still exists.
Yes.
The only difference is it is now changed.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
So the question then is, and this is what people will say, well, you're altering the word of God because you're saying that we no longer be circumcised by our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that you still have to be circumcised.
Yeah.
And as you just pointed out, mm-hmm. this circumcision is not done by the hands of men, but it's done by the Holy Spirit. But right. there's a second thing that's a great example as well. So we have, obviously, we have the circumcision that changed.
Mm-hmm.
Things changed.
Yeah.
Yeshua didn't come and get rid of it, right?
Yeah, right.
But it changed. The other thing, and that's what we're going to be talking about, and that's where I think people get so, well, no, here's a second thing, is a great, it's pretty elementary example, but the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
The law.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Right? So we don't go and look at, we don't go I don't know who has it. I've heard rumors that, you know, the Catholic Church has it, but
what, the Ark of the
Covenant? Ark of the Covenant. We don't go into the Ark of the Covenant and open it up and to read the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is that?
Yeah, because it's written on the heart.
It's written on our heart. It's not on stone. So do the Ten Commandments still exist?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And they're supposed to be written not on tablets of stone, but on the tablet of our heart. And that's the whole point of the new covenant.
Right.
You know, he's internalizing it. He's not just doing it the letter. He is doing it of the Spirit.
Amen.
And making you a
Amen.
New creation, you know.
Yeah. And that's where I think people get so hung up, and especially when you get into the legalities of Torah mm-hmm. and how we live our life, is that they're thinking that, oh my goodness, you guys are doing away with Torah, and we're not doing away with Torah. We're mm-hmm. simply acknowledging what Yeshua did in his completeness and in his fullness. Yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I think people mess up. We believe 100%. I want to make sure there's clear for the Torah community. We believe in the Torah. 100%. We believe there 100% that there are parts of the Torah that there are obviously parts of the Torah that we don't obey.
Sure.
Like, I mean, and this is just like, if you didn't know this, like, we don't obey the temple, the temple rules.
Yeah.
Because we're not in a temple.
Right.
Like, now I think some of those can't apply for the church today, you know, and treating the common, treating the holy as common.
Yeah.
But we don't obey. I don't obey the laws of Israel in Israel, the city laws and the ordinances there.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is simply I don't live in Israel.
Yeah.
I live here in Texas.
Right.
But that doesn't give me the freedom to say, oh, now I'm a Christian and, and I love Yeshua and I love the law, so I'm going to follow the law, but I'm not going to follow the Torah, the laws of the land. Now, I'm seeing that happening in the Torah movement, where people are literally, like, they'll break the laws here in America because somehow they're Torah and those don't apply to them anymore. And I think that's absolute garbage. But the point I'm trying to make is that just like the Ten Commandments still exist, but they're not on the law, they're not on stone.
Yeah.
They're on our heart. Mm-hmm. Just like circumcision still exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not done by the hands of men.
Right.
Right. And I think that's where people get so discombobulated, right? Mm-hmm. And so that goes so well with the topic. And what we're going to address today, we're going to, I want to show some biblical examples. We're going to talk about the Torah, but we're going to talk about something that's very hard for some Torah followers. And when I say Torah followers, guys, I'm talking Gentile believers who were once Christian Sunday goers who have transitioned over. I'm not talking about the Orthodox Judaism. I'm not even talking about Messianic, but I mean Messianic, you can call us Messianic, I guess. You know, there's a lot of messy in it.
There is.
Right? But there's issues that I think people are missing, and they're trying to go back. And somebody said this before to me, and I don't remember who it was, and it was so good. And you and I have talked about this, is that it's almost like these people who have come in by grace. That's how we came in.
Yeah.
Like, we don't throw that away.
Yeah.
Like, we came in by grace. Now, we don't abuse grace. We don't say, well, now I'm a believer, so I can pretty much live any way I want. That's an abuse of grace. There is a law that we're to follow. There's Torah. There's obedience that we're supposed to get in. And I've said this before on this podcast. I'm going to say it again today, is that we, you know, entry into the park is free. It didn't cost us anything. Right? But our dues, they're going to cost you your life.
If you break the rules of the park, they'll probably kick you out.
They'll kick you out, right? They're going to kick you out. Like, you, like if it says don't drink and you go into the park and you're, you know, you're toasted, you're pulling back your Budweisers, right? You're going to get, probably, you know, a ticket.
Yeah.
You know? You're probably going to get kicked out of the park.
Yeah.
It's no different than in how we live our life as followers of Messiah.
That's right.
Is that, yes, we're entry into the thing is free, but there are, you know, there are rules to follow.
Right.
And there, Yeshua said, you know, I mean, it's, you know, what is, like, obedience is better than sacrifice. Right. If you love me, obey my commandments. I mean.
Yeah. And, you know, when he said, if you love me, obey my commandments, you know, on Shabbat, I was talking about how, you know, Yahweh came down from Mount Sinai to give the people the Torah and the commandments. And really, it was really Yeshua who was interacting with man and interacting with Moses and giving Moses the Torah and the commandments. And so if Yeshua is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, and Yeshua is the one who really gave the commandments to Moses, I mean, that kind of puts another spin, another little perspective on, if you love me, keep my commandments, which commandments he's talking about, right? And I was kind of thinking, too, when you were talking about, you know, coming into the Torah, a lot of people, they start to kind of focus on the physical, right? Like, I have to be physically clean. I can't, you know, my wife can't go to church if it's her time of the month.
Oh, my
like,
goodness. Come on,
that
man.
Type of stuff, you know?
Yep.
And it's like, it's not, if the inside of the cup hasn't been cleansed,
come on, bro,
then the outside isn't going to be. And, you know, because that's what Yeshua was telling the Pharisees. He's like, you guys, you are so worried about the outside of the cup.
Come on, man.
But inside, you're full of greed and wickedness. Then he said, first, cleanse the inside of the cup so that the outside will be
well,
cleansed
that's,
too.
That's the whole analogy Yahweh gives in the parable of the wineskin.
Yeah.
It's exactly that. Mm-hmm. Is that you're trying to take old wine or put new wine into old wineskin. You haven't changed.
Yeah.
You've got to change, right? I was talking with a brother about this, you know, and we've talked about this, and, you know, you've got people that are, you know, and I want to put them quotations, the Torah, you know, they're Torah, you know, they're Torah terrorist.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about being Torah terrorist, and some of you may have experienced this, is that you get beat up by the Torah. These guys know the Torah so well.
Yeah.
But what you end up finding out is a lot of these Torah terrorists and these people that follow Torah, not all of them, You know, we have a community, I believe, that is filled with the love.
Yeah.
That love Yeshua.
Absolutely.
And they are doing their best to follow Torah. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you find out that you got this guy that, oh, he wears his tzitzit. You know, he knows all the Hebrew languages, you know, and there's nothing against that, guys. I've got tzitzit on right now and I'm wearing shorts. Right. But here's the problem. He's at home beating his wife.
Yeah.
He's at home cussing out his kids. He's at the job, mm-hmm. you know, acting like
being
a fool,
being
a jerk. You see no love in him.
Yeah.
He drives like a madman mm-hmm. on the highway.
Yeah.
You know, he has no respect for anybody else. And he's treating his family, his marriage, despicably.
Yeah.
And yet he comes into a Shabbat service.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, he sure looks good.
He can quote the Shema.
He can quote the Shema, and he can read, and he can do that thing. And then as soon as you disrupt him and you disagree with him, oh, man.
Yeah.
Now he's gossiping about you, and he's mm-hmm. talking about you, and he's,
right.
you know, we've seen it time and time again.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do here is, like, look, everything that we deal with when we talk about the Torah, and Brother Tyler just said it, you know, is that we want to talk about the spirit of this. Because, listen, he is so right, man. You can know all the Torah, and you could have been to Israel 100 times and walked on Mount Carmel. You can do all that. But let me tell you something. If you don't love and you don't demonstrate love, brothers and sisters, it's for naught. It is for naught. It means nothing. And so that's going to play into what we're about to talk about, because we're probably going to offend some of you. Because we're going to talk about a change that has happened, that Mike didn't do it, Tyler didn't do it, nobody has done it, but the Lord did it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand this, whether whichever side of the fence you're on, right, whether you're not Torah, whether you are Torah, whether you're a follower who loves Jesus, listen to me. This is so vital, because if you don't understand this part, I'm not going to say, like one guy said, you know, if you don't understand this, you're going to be deceived, you know. I don't believe that. But if you don't understand this, man, it's going to bring a lot of confusion.
Hmm.
And I think it does. We see it in the body of Christ, don't we?
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the change of command. And what I want to do, he's going to read the scriptures found in Matthew. We're going to start there, and we're just going to expound upon this into the book of Hebrews and into why we say as a community in our own church, but why we believe that the sacrificial system is dead.
Right. Yeah.
That being said, I said something a couple of weeks ago, and this is going to play right into what Tyler's going to read here, is that this whole sacrificial system, it hinges on three items.
Mm-hmm.
And if you break any one of these three items, y'all listen to me on this, you break any one of the three, okay, it crumbles.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, because biblically speaking, all three of these are addressed, in a sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Number one, obviously, the sacrifices. Mm-hmm. You remove the sacrifices.
Right. I mean,
nothing.
Yeah.
We've established that through Jesus, that the sacrificial system has been done with the great, the once and for all sacrifice, which was the Hebrews talks
10,
about.
Yeah.
Hebrews 10. Once and for all. Right. The blood of goats and bulls did not please Yahweh. Did not please him. All right. We've talked about in 1 John, we're talked about being cleansed.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, and a lot of people that believe in the sacrificial system, that they're going to go to the temple and make these sacrifices, if they believe it because they say, well, it's not for sacrificial sin, but it's purification.
Right.
Ritual.
Right. Yeah.
We got to have the ritual.
In the flesh.
Got to get that stuff out of it. But the problem with that is that that's addressed in Bible also.
Yeah.
Right? 1 John says that if I walk in the light, as he is in the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says.
That's right.
I believe it's verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
1 John chapter 1, verse 6,
mm-hmm.
or somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And it says, then his blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Actually, purifies is the word it's used.
Yeah.
If you look up that word purification or purify, it literally means to be ceremonially clean. Okay?
Yeah.
So I am ceremonially clean in Messiah if I walk out, if I live the life that I'm called to.
Yeah.
And then if I don't, obviously, this is why we have to have repentance.
Yeah.
And when I sin and I repent, I'm the blood, and that's what it says. Read your Bible.
And it's the same word in the Septuagint. Like in the Greek Septuagint, when it's talking, you're reading through the Torah in the Septuagint, and you get to the part about the sacrifices when it says, like, you know, you do the sacrifice, you'll be clean. It's the same word that's used in the New Testament.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's like katharizo.
That's it, like katharizo.
That. Yeah, they're using the same words, right? And so that's done on purpose to show you that the connection between, look, Yeshua katharizo you through his blood, just as even more so, you know, the sacrifice of the Levitical priesthood.
That's very good.
You know, it's just, and Yahweh did that on purpose,
right?
To show you, like, wait a minute, this is the connection,
right?
You know,
right. So moving through that, don't apologize. This is really good. So moving through that to understanding that we've been cleansed, the part we have to understand now is the third element, and that third element, which is key. There are people in the movement that are Christians that believe that the Levitical system is going to be reestablished. Matter of fact, so much so, I was showing this to a friend of mine just recently, that there is an article that just came out by a rabbi that has been chosen as the great high priest.
Oh.
He has since, from my understanding, he has since, you probably could look it up on Google, he has since turned it down, but so they've made him basically like the captain of the Sanhedrin. So they've reestablished the Sanhedrin in Israel. They have gathered these guys up, and by bloodline, they have found this guy. And this guy is, you got him?
No, I haven't.
This guy is being, they're giving him this appointment as the high priest. There's a problem with this, is that number one, we have a new high priest.
Right.
Right? This is, remember now, this isn't coming from Christianity. This is coming from Orthodox Judaism, that they're appointing this guy as Abdul. I can't remember the guy's name. You may have it. Have you got it?
They appointed this. I'm seeing kind of different essays and stuff. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that.
So they just did this. I just seen the article on it. So anyways, so they're appointing a guy as a high priest. And what they've said is they've done his blood test. They've done all that stuff. They went to and did his lineage. And he's going to be the great high priest. Now, this is what we need to address. Okay? So for some of you out there, you're going, yay, a high priest. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, guys. We have a high priest.
Yeah.
Now, to prove this and to substantiate it with scripture, we're going to read some Bible. Right. Mm-hmm. So, brother, Tyler's got his Bible in front of me. I'm using mine over here for the podcast, so I don't have mine readily accessible. But I will look at some things if I can reach over there when I'm not on screen. And so I want to go into an incident that happened with Yeshua. Most of you that are watching this are probably very, very familiar with it. I'm sure they are if they're there. So if you would go ahead and give us that verse and chapter and verse, and go ahead and read it.
So this is Yeshua before the Sanhedrin, Matthew 26, starting in 57. Now those who had arrested Yeshua led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him from a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and he went inside and was sitting with the officers to see the outcome. And now the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false testimony against Yeshua, because they couldn't find any real testimony, right, to put him to death. And they did
not. Well, they're doing what Torah said, right? Torah said you can't convict someone in the Sanhedrin unless they had two or three witnesses,
yeah. And they did not find it, although many false witnesses came forward. And finally, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it within 3 days.'" Mm-hmm. And the high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you reply nothing? What are these people testifying against you?" But Yeshua was silent. And the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God that you tell us if you are the Mashiach, the Son of God, the Son of Yahweh." Yeshua said to him, "You have said it. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." He's referring to Daniel 7 in the vision, right? "And then the high priest tore his robes, saying, 'He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have just now heard the blasphemy.' And they answered and said, 'He deserves death.'" And so they started hitting him and spitting on him. So, yeah, the high priest tore his robe. And, you know, it says in the Torah that the high priest could never, you could never tear your robe as high priest, you know? And this is a symbolic act. This is a prophetic act that he did, that he is sitting here judging the Son of Man, the Son of Yahweh, and he has just called him a blasphemer and a liar, and he tore his robe. So he is basically pronouncing judgment upon himself and upon the priesthood, because he is the head of the priesthood. So he is ripping the priesthood, and he is tearing it, because he is sitting in wicked judgment against the Son of Man, against the heavenly high priest, you know. And so that is like a completely symbolic act. And it ties into so many things.
Yeah.
You know, it ties into the parable of the vineyard that that Yeshua told. I'm sorry, I just can't see the... Is it still... Okay, there we go. Okay, cool.
I got you.
I just didn't know what happened. What is happening here with the high priest tearing his robes? It's tying into the parable of the vineyard, where Yeshua kind of is like, hey, you know, the father had a vineyard, and he leased it out to tenants to get the fruit.
Right.
And finally, you know, he sent the son, because surely they're going to respect my son.
He stole that before me, guys. I'm just telling you.
Not trying to, like, you know, step on toes here. But it ties into it, because, yeah, like, when in the parable, Yeshua said that he will tear the kingdom and give it to others, because they killed the Son of Yahweh. And that's their punishment, yeah, is tearing the kingdom, yeah, for them. And so that's what, when the high priest is tearing his clothes, that is...
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. So it's not just that, but if you go back under the law, yeah, right, and the Torah, and I know it's under Leviticus, right, when he's telling Aaron to change his, like he's garment. Going into the garment, he's going to go in the Holy Holy, and he said they can't rip it. Like, yeah, this garment was not allowed to be torn.
Mm-hmm.
And... I want to paint this picture a little bit. Is Yeshua standing there, and he's standing in front of the Sanhedrin, and he's got the great Caiaphas, you know, mm-hmm, the high priest that, if you didn't know, was absolutely an illegitimate high priest.
Yeah,
historically, he was appointed. He was, yeah, appointed by the Caesar instead of
by son of Aaron.
Yeah, right. So he was, and they did that back in the day, you know, the Maccabees and that kind of thing, yeah, really referred to this because of political power, right? They wanted to be able to control the Jewish people, and so, hey, we'll appoint a guy in there, and that was Caiaphas. He was a fake thing. He wasn't supposed to be there. Anyhow, moving through that is the fact that now he's, so I want you to image this. The Torah said that you cannot rip the holy garments. These were holy garments. Without these garments, he can't go into the Holy of Holies and do what needed to be done. And they were fixing to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Passover sacrifice.
The Passover sacrifice was fixing to be done.
Yeah.
And he was fixing to do the sacrifice. And so you got to think about this for a moment. All around them, not only the Sanhedrin, but you have the Levitical priest in there. And out of frustration, right, he says, tell me now, are you the Son of God? Mm-hmm. Well, Yeshua can't lie.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to lie.
Right.
So he's got to tell the truth.
Yeah.
He doesn't like come out and say yes, yes, yes. He says it is, mm-hmm, as you say it is.
Yeah.
Like it is as you say it. And then Caiaphas does what? He rips the holy garments.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this for a moment. And this is what we're saying. This is so prophetic, is that in the presence of everyone, he ripped these garments. And you got to wonder if in the minds of these men,
maybe they gasped.
I'm thinking there's some gasping going on.
A collective gasp.
Thinking the heart rates went up a little bit, because now they're saying,
uh-oh,
who's going into the Holy of Holies? Who's going to go make the sacrifice?
Yeah.
Because standing right in front of them was Yeshua.
Yeah.
High priest.
He was about to make the sacrifice.
This was the change of the guard.
Yeah.
Like you were just referring to. It was the Levitical system being torn. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And because the Levitical system was torn, it wasn't a big deal. Jesus, the new high priest from the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah. And can I say something about that too?
Go ahead,
this is also even seen even way before this with John the Baptist. Because when you look at John the Baptist's lineage,
I was going to mention that next, but go ahead.
Oh, man.
Keep going. No, go ahead. Take it.
So when you look at John the Baptist lineage,
this is what I have to work with, guys. Just pray for me. I've
been doing that all day to him. You see that he's a son of Aaron, and so whenever he sees Yeshua, he's like, "I need to be baptized by you."
Come on, man.
You know, and then John the Baptist said, "Hey, I baptize with water, but there's going to come one after me who is mightier than I. So I, the son of Aaron, all I can do is baptize you with the natural things, right? I can make the physical sacrifice. I can
be like, this is so good, right? What if, like, I've taught this before, mm-hmm. and one of the things that really brought, because I love what you're saying and I love where we're going, because I totally agree with you. But I think there's another level. And I think the level is when the priest Aaron immerses Jesus, it wasn't so Jesus could be saved.
Right.
And then the old Baptist theology is, well, Jesus had to be baptized by John so that everybody else would go get baptized. I don't believe that was it.
No.
I believe that for Yeshua to take his position as the high priest, he had to be baptized. He had to be immersed by a high priest.
Right. And that's the changing of the guard
again.
That's
the change of the guard again.
Authority.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now, here the conundrum that we get in is that there's people that want to go back to the John the Baptist Foundation. Right. There's people that want to go back to the Caiaphas Foundation. Right. They want to go back to the old Levitical priesthood.
Yeah.
They want to bring that back. It's exactly, this is what the Orthodox want to do. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you can't do sacrifices. Here's the whole key. If there's no Levitical system.
Right.
Like, you can't go down there and make a sacrifice, right?
Right.
So what do they have to do? They got to bring in this false priesthood.
Yeah.
That has been, and here's what people go, well, doesn't the Bible say that the Levites will be restored? Yes, the Levites.
Right.
Not the Levitical priesthood.
Yeah. That's right.
It's different. The tribe of Levi will become, will be established, right?
Yeah, and this, I think this could, that could definitely segue into, so whenever Yahweh told Israel in Exodus 19, he's like, I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests. You know, that is a hint and a nod to the Melchizedek order. Because a kingdom of priests, so it's like, the Levitical priesthood could not rule and reign as kings. They had kings and then they had priests.
They operated separately.
Right. The whole thing with King Uzziah trying to go in and, like, that was not his place.
That's right.
But in Revelations, in chapter 1, chapter 5, it says that he has made us kings and priests through his blood.
That's right.
And so he, Melchizedek, the priest king, has made people from not just a certain genealogical descent, but from all nations and tribes and languages and everywhere.
Right.
He's made them priests and kings.
Come on, man.
So that is the kingdom of priests that Yahweh was describing. Man. And it's like, it's not Levitical, it's Melchizedek, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's
the thing that people have got to grab a hold of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first time that this office is held by one person, right, the first time is Yeshua.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As our great high priest, right, and the king.
Yeah, that's right.
And then what does he do? He takes that same, and now for those who make it, that will be given to us.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
We're going to be as priests and kings the same way. Why? Because we're following Yeshua.
Right.
We're following Jesus. Yeah. He's our priest. He's our king. And so you'll have people who say, well, Mike, this is really complicated. You know, some of these things we truly don't understand. And they say that because they don't know how to deal with this stuff.
Yes.
You know, like, they don't know. And I'm not saying that Tyler and I have all the answers. We certainly don't. And we're certainly learning more and more and more the more we study this. But we've got to get out of the Mishnah. We've got to get out of the Talmud. And we've got to start reading what the Bible actually says and stop making stuff up just because you want it to fit your theology, because that doesn't make sense. Jesus is our great high priest. Jesus is, and the Levitical system, listen to me, the Levitical system is done away with. So going back to my analogy at the beginning, is if you don't have a Levitical system, meaning you don't have a sacrificial system, meaning now, well, where's the temple, right?
Right.
And let me clarify something on that temple issue, because I think some people maybe I've come across as not being clear on this. I do believe that there could be a temple built, but it's not our temple.
Yeah.
It's not Yahweh's temple. It's man's.
Yeah.
Okay. So all of this hog, you know, are they going to build a temple? Yeah, they may very well build a temple.
Yeah.
Now, I had a brother that I love dearly who said, well, I believe that Jesus is going to build the temple. Again, no biblical evidence. And what we do see is quite contrary to that. Now, that's what I want to get into. Let's get into what Paul said.
Okay.
Let's get into what the scriptures teach about a third temple. So number one, and I may have said this before, the word or the terminology within scripture, you know, it's funny in our movement, in this first Judean century movement that we are, for those who are coming out of Christianity into Torah, you know, they will fight tooth and nail. The Trinity is wrong. The Trinity is not even the Bible. But yet some of those same people are grabbing onto this third temple. And guess what? Not in the Bible. It's not in scripture, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's look at what Yeshua says. Yeshua says first and foremost, like, and he says this before his death. What does he say? Tear down this temple.
Yeah.
And in 3 days, I'll rebuild it. So that's where our foundation needs to begin, I believe.
Yeah.
It needs to begin in what Yeshua said. What did he say? Mm-hmm. Rip it down.
Right.
I'm going to rebuild it.
Yeah.
What is he referring to? Is he referring to a physical? Now, have we seen a 3-day physical temple being built? No. What have we seen?
He's saying the people, his people, his body being built. The resurrection.
The resurrection. Thank you. Yeah, at the resurrection, that's what I was hoping you'd die. Yeah. Resurrection. I didn't know where he was going, guys. I'm sorry. You know, again.
I'm a little slow sometimes.
He's not slow. He's sharp as a pin, man. This dude, just sometimes it looks like somebody took him and just, you know, hit. You know, like when you take a nail. And you want to use it for other purposes, right? You take that nail and you hit it on the head like on concrete and flatten that nail.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happened.
And don't ask me to find anything.
Yeah, don't. Praise God. Don't do that, man. Oh, my Linta. Okay, so we see this. This is so important in what we're talking about. So Yeshua says, I'm going to build the temple. How does he build the temple? When he resurrects.
Mm-hmm.
When he resurrects, he's building the temple.
Right.
Scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture refers to this. Why do you think in the book of Revelations, and I love the book of Revelation 21, because people say, well, praise God, you know, that means, you know, when you look at, oh, what about verse 11? What about chapter 11? What about chapter 11? Everything's made holy. Okay, we dealt with this a few weeks ago, okay, and we never addressed it. And I want to bring it about because I am going somewhere with this. Jump in anytime, brother. But here's the thing, okay. We established a few weeks ago that everywhere Yeshua sets his foot, because we were talking about the red heifer.
Yeah.
And the belief system that, oh, a red heifer has to be sacrificed on the Temple Mount in order to make it or on the holy place. It doesn't say Temple Mount, by the way. Y'all need to quit that. Like, I was talking to a brother, like, it says the temple. I was like, you better go back and read your Bible. Because it doesn't say. It says the holy place. And we don't know where that's at. That could very well be Mount, not where the temple is right now. That's not the
Mount Zion.
Mount Zion.
Yeah.
It could be that, like the top of it.
Right,
because you can make an altar anywhere.
Sure,
right, if you wanted to. There's a whole nother teaching that we could teach you about what we feel like, what the anti-Messiah is going to do, what the desecration is going to be. Right,
right.
Like, that's the abomination.
That's definitely a whole nother teaching.
Oh, dude, we can go there. Right, that's so good. But here's the thing that I want you to get. So good. Like, they'll use and let me tell you something. The word temple is only mentioned twice in the book of Revelation. Revelation 11, okay? And they'll say, well, it's talked all over. No, Revelation 11 and Revelation 21 or 23, the last book of the Revelation. The end of the book says that I see no temple, for it's beautiful, for Yahweh is the temple.
Yeah.
Which, well, you know why I love that? Now, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. The reason why I love that is because that's the totality of Scripture.
Yeah.
That's the totality of Scripture. That's exactly what Scripture has been teaching all the way through in the New Covenant, in the Brit Hadashah. Yeah.
And there's one more place.
Hold your breath. Okay. I want to go back here for a minute. So then you may be saying, okay, well, what's your point? My point is, if when Yeshua showed up, or Yahweh showed up to Moses, and he told him to take his shoes off, for the place he stands is holy, and he made it holy. And he's up in the mountains, by the way, okay?
Yeah.
Get this, guys. And then in Joshua, when Joshua meets the captain of the host, and he tells him, remove your shoes, for the place where you stand is holy. We know that that's Yeshua.
Yeah.
Like, we know it's Yeshua.
Right.
So Revelation 11, the only mention of that temple is it says that the temple and everything, all the pots and pans will be made holy. Well, what do you expect is going to happen when Yeshua shows up in Jerusalem?
That part is a Zechariah.
Or Zechariah.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Everything is going to be made when Yeshua's
there.
dude, listen. Yeah. For some of you all who don't know this, Yeshua's not coming back as some little infant.
Yeah.
He's coming back as a king.
Mm-hmm.
Holy.
Yeah.
Kadosh.
Yeah.
And when he plants his foot on this earth,
right,
everywhere his foot goes is going to be made holy. Don't you mistake that, okay?
That's right. Yeah.
So that's my whole point, is that we see this whole thing coming together where you only see that. Right. So that being said, go ahead and say what you're going to say, and then let's talk about what Paul's saying.
Well, man, that's some good stuff. I could really talk about that too. But this part in Revelations, when you're talking about the temple in Revelation and how Yeshua is going to be building the temple, you know, in Revelations chapters 1 through 3, he's kind of giving, you know, his admonitions to the seven churches and like all those things. So in Revelations chapter 3, when he talks to the church of Philadelphia, he says, starting in verse 10, "Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." And this is the key verse right here. Verse 12 in chapter 3. "The one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God."
That's good.
"And he will never leave it. And on him I will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my own new name."
Right.
So he's saying that to whoever overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple. So obviously he's not talking about you're going to be a marble column in a physical temple.
Right.
Like he's talking about the people. You're going to be a, like it says in Galatians, when Paul was talking about Peter, James, and John, he said those who were pillars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so they were pillars of the temple. They were pillars of the church, of the dwelling place of Yahweh in the spirit. And so that's what he's talking about. Yeah. Like, whoever overcomes, you're going to be an absolute, you're going to be like Peter, James, and John. You're going to be an authority. You're going to be a strong support. That's what pillars do. They hold things up. Right? And so, so it's not what the New Testament does. It really, whenever he talks about, not only will I write the Torah upon your heart, be circumcised of the heart.
Right.
It's like everything is getting into its actual spirit core meaning, the heart, which is like the heart of the matter about everything, you know?
Yeah.
And to kind of like switch gears just a tiny bit, I really love what you were saying about like where Yeshua, wherever he is, he's holy.
Yeah.
You know, he makes that ground holy. There's nothing special about when he told Joshua to take off your shoes. That piece of dirt, it was him. And so whenever, like the woman with the issue of blood.
Oh, come on now.
When she touched him, he cleansed her. Like, you know, if she ran up to Rabbi Shammai, said, "Rabbi Shammai, help me. I'm in my blood for 12 years. Yeah. Hey, get away from me, you dog," or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he wouldn't even touch her.
No, he wouldn't, man. He's like, "Get away from me. You're going to make me unclean. I need to go to the temple." But Yeshua was like, he doesn't care if the leper touched him or the woman with the blood touched him.
Come
because he makes them clean. He cleanses them.
Yeah.
And so not only like did he, it says that your faith has made you whole.
That's right.
Like, forgiving you of your sins and cleanse you physically,
come on,
too.
Dude. Come on.
I mean,
man.
It makes you whole every
dude,
whiff.
This is what it's all about, is our faith.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about, is our trust in Messiah. This is what life is about, right? Like, we're not telling you. And I think it's so important that we make sure we understand this, is we're not saying that you go out and break Torah. And we're not saying that, oh my gosh, you know, that we're changing the Torah. We didn't do away with this. It has changed. It has been exchanged. The physical for the spiritual. And we may need to talk about that, you know, about the, a lot, there is a belief out there that Yeshua is the priest of the heavenly temple,
and the Levite of the earthly.
But
yeah.
The problem with that is it doesn't line up with any scripture.
Yeah. Doesn't line up with the whole book of Hebrews. I mean,
dude, it's just, and that's why they want to take the book of Hebrews out. That's why there's a movement that says that you know, teachers are saying, "Oh, don't trust the book of Hebrews," because it goes against your dogma.
Yeah.
It goes against your narrative. That's why you don't want it in there. Like, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
You don't want to read these passages because it goes against your narrative and who you are.
Yeah.
And that's why you want it out of there. But the problem with that is, and even if you remove the book of Hebrews, it still doesn't line up to Scripture.
Right.
You want to bet on that? Let's show you. Let's look at, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 16. I believe that's the verse. Like,
First
this
Corinthians
is
3?
Is it 3:16?
Yeah,
3:16.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Yeah. Don't you know that you are God's temple?
Stop. You're who?
You're the temple
of Yahweh. What did Yeshua say? Tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. Mm. Paul emphasizes that. Let's go to
2 Corinthians 6.
Right? These get confusing sometimes.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 16.
16,
yeah.
Thank you.
What agreement does God's temple have with idols?
Watch.
For we are the temple of the living Elohim.
Come on, man.
Just as Elohim said, I will dwell in them and walk.
That goes right with what John said in Revelation chapter 21 or 22, when he says, I see no temple, for Yahweh is the temple.
That's right. Amen.
Like, Scripture defends itself.
Right.
Like, why are we even in this? There are souls, there are people that are dying and going to hell, and you got sex, S-E-C-T-S. I know my lips kind of sounds bad. We have people within the movement of Torah, and they're more concerned about whether or not a fictitious temple is being built in there, and whether or not you're going to go sacrifice a bull, a ram, or a calf, instead of getting over to your neighbor and loving them and saving them, reaching out the gospel of Jesus Christ for those who are lost and going to hell. And you're more concerned with defending this garbage that's not even in Scripture.
That's right.
Can you tell I get passionate about this?
Just a little.
You know, because, man, there are so many people that I used to have a pastor. I loved what he used to say, because you'd have divisions and strifes coming into church, right? And he says, man, I don't have time for that. There are too many people that are lost and going to hell for me to worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what we should be concerned with. Let me say this. I'm gonna segue for just a moment. I'm gonna rabbit trail.
Mm-hmm.
If we truly believe that we're living in the end times,
mm-hmm.
if we truly believe that this world is fixing to die, what the heck? I wanted to say something else, but keeping it kid friendly. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, you really believe that? Are you on your knees praying for your father and your mother who may not believe? Mm. What about your son and daughter that's gone wayward, right? No, but you know what we're doing in the Torah movement? What I see that just really kind of like, is that we're hiding in our little groups.
Yeah.
Like
arguing about little Nephilims and...
Absolutely, man. We're talking about stuff that's absolutely useless that will not bring anyone to Jesus.
Yeah.
Nobody will come to the Father, right? We're called to love. We're called to live like Jesus. You know what? I never heard Yeshua get in debate about a temple.
Yeah.
Other than, get out of here, man, because you're making it a bunch of you're a bunch of thieves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? He never got in debates about the Nephilim.
Right.
You know why?
Calendar.
Or the calendar. You know what he did? He loved people, and he knew that the time was short. So you believe time's short, then what about the guy that lives right across the street from you, right down the street from you, the guy that you shop with every day, or the guy that you work with every day? Like, are you concerned about them and their soul and their heart?
Yeah.
Like, dude, we gotta get our head out of the sand. Like, if we're like, I love the Torah, man. Don't misunderstand me. I love the revelation of Torah. But what makes me sick to my stomach is watching some of these Torah teachers who only care about clicks, who only care about, they're not winning souls.
Yeah.
They're not leading people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did we forget that? Have we forgotten what we're here for? We're supposed to be examples of Yeshua.
Mm.
Like, that's what it means to be a disciple. It means to be an imitator. I'm supposed to imitate my king and my priest.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So going back, so we got 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
That was just I'm sorry, guys. It just really hits my heart, man. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Let's look at Galatians. This is the New Testament.
Yeah. Whenever you were saying about preaching Yeshua, going out and preaching the gospel of Yeshua, you know, when I first kind of came into Torah, and really it was like that for a while, I was so zealous of Torah that I kind of forgot. Like, when I would talk to someone about spiritual things, it would be like, do you keep the Sabbath? Right? Like someone off, you know, randomly. Like, do you keep the Sabbath? Are you doing Passover? Do you keep Christmas? And it's like, Don't start off with that.
How about, hey, bro, you want to come over to my house for dinner? Yeah. Like, let's have dinner together.
Yeah.
Let's build relationship.
Right.
And then, like, you can see who I really love.
Yeah.
Right? And not come over there and take my Bible because I know Torah and beat you over the head with it as a Torah terrorist.
Right, right, yeah. We got to preach Yeshua. Forgiveness of, he said, repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be preached in my name to all the nations. So
wait, No. Wait a minute. I know there's a verse in there that says that the Torah is supposed to be spoken in his name.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be, that's what you're supposed to go out and teach.
Yeah.
The Torah. Yeah.
Keep the commandments because you need to be saved. Listen, no, it's like, don't put the cart before the horse.
Yeah, you don't beat people up with the Torah and then try to introduce Jesus. Introduce Jesus and then teach them Torah.
Right.
That's the discipleship process, right? Yeah. So I apologize, man, if that offended you, but I love Jesus. I love him, man. I mean, I was the worst of the worst, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people who knew me back then, and man, but go the grace of God.
For real.
I mean, I love him, and he loves me, and he transformed my life, and he's transformed my family. He's transformed this community that we live in.
For sure.
And it's not just because we wear tzitzit or because we know how to say really cool, fancy Hebrew words. It's because we try to show the love of Messiah in every person that walks through the doors of this community. And some people don't like that.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
I'm sorry.
Because if you don't like it,
yeah,
that door swings both ways.
Yeah.
And you can come to the community or you don't have to be a part of this community. Yep. It's fine with me because I want the people that God's called to be here.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Amen. So Galatians chapter 2.
Yes, sir. So what are we getting at again? Galatians 2.
23? Is it 22?
23. About being crucified with Christ.
I'm sorry. I said Galatians.
Yeah.
I'm in Ephesians.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yes. Yeah, no, yes. Yes.
No, yeah. No, yes.
Yes.
Forgive us. I rabbit trailed, and now it's confused everybody.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I was looking at Galatians 2. I'm like, I missed something. No, but Ephesians 2 says, let me start in verse 19.
Come on, man.
So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with God's people, and members of God's household. You have been built on the foundation made up of the emissaries and the prophets. So the apostles and the prophets, with Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone. In him, the whole building being fitted together is growing.
Come on, man.
Into a holy temple.
What?
Yeah, this what? Temple is growing.
Come on, man.
It's not like a brick and stone temple. Yeah. This temple grows.
Right? Come on, man.
It's the body.
Yeah.
You know? In him, you also are being built together into God's dwelling place.
Yeah.
In the Ruach, in the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know? Man, that's
dude.
That's some good
so
stuff.
That's just, we've given you about four verses.
Man, can I say something real quick?
No. Of course you can.
Let me interrupt you. But he says, Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. So this temple that Yahweh is building, that's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, if Yeshua is not the chief cornerstone, then it's not his temple, right? And that, when you really kind of think about that, so you this temple that Yahweh is building, he's looking for, Aaron is not the chief cornerstone. You know, Levi is not a part of the cornerstone. It's Yeshua Messiah who is the chief cornerstone.
That's right.
And, you know, when Pastor Mike was talking earlier about, like, focusing more on, like, the physical aspects of Torah, like, you know, we got to be clean. Like, we're unclean if we're this and that, and we can't go to church or I can't go to your house because, you know, I'm unclean until the evening or whatnot. When the whole thing about John the Baptist symbolizing Aaron handing over the authority and the new leadership to Yeshua, basically, you know, John the Baptist said, he said, I'm the friend of the bridegroom.
Come on, dude.
Like, I, the son of Aaron, I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. But the bridegroom is the one that has the bride. I'm just the friend. And so now it's time for the friend of the bridegroom to kind of step back and allow the bridegroom to take his bride
yeah.
and cleanse his bride. And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It really is.
Like, man, thank you, Levi, for your service. But now it's time to step back.
Right.
You know?
And it comes back to something that we have been talking about. And we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. But it's something that we have talked about, right? That and most people who truly study Scripture understand the types and shadows.
Yeah.
Right. The Levitical priesthood was a type and shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a representation of Yahweh showing us what was necessary for us to be made holy. It's a necessary thing. But what's happening now is we're worshiping the older system and we're not willing to bring in. And so many people are going to miss. They're going to miss the Lord.
Yeah.
Because they're more focused on the old system instead of on what Yeshua has done. And because of that, they're going to miss their salvation.
Yeah.
That remember, it is a narrow road. And the narrow road doesn't mean because you make sacrifices. It means that there's certain key factors, man, that you must consider. It is a narrow road. So just like we know that in communities, there are people that come to communities and they are lost in like a goose in a snowstorm. Mm-hmm. They have no idea.
Yeah.
Right? They're lost. But there are people that come into Torah communities, and I know them. I know several of them. They don't know Messiah.
Yeah.
They can quote Scripture. They look the part.
Yeah.
But they're going to be just like what Messiah said, that many will come in my name and say, didn't we do all these things in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you doers of iniquity, for I never knew you. That word new, listen to me, church. The word new is an intimate word.
Yeah.
It's the same word that we see in Hebrew where Adam knew Eve and they had children.
Right.
There's supposed to be fruit.
The bride and the bridegroom have that intimate.
They have intimacy. And we should talk about that one day because I did a message a while back on how what intimacy looks like in our relationship with Yeshua. And the bottom line is when there's intimacy, there's reproduction. Mm. There's fruit.
There's life.
There's fruit.
Yeah.
So if I'm being intimate with the Yahweh, if I'm being intimate, well, how do I do that? It's not just about obedience and saying, oh, I follow the Torah.
Checking the box.
Jesus said those who knew me were intimate. We're intimate with him.
Yeah.
We have a relationship with him. I hear his voice.
Yeah.
I was talking with this with a brother on Shabbat, is that there are so many Christians, there's so many Torah people who cannot distinguish the voice of Yahweh because they don't have the Holy Spirit. We talked about that before in this podcast, right? We talked about how important it is to have the Holy Spirit so that you hear his voice and not follow the voice of a stranger. I fear sometimes within our movement, man, there are a lot of people who hear good teachers. They hear their voices. They don't hear the voice of Yeshua.
Mm.
And there's a day of judgment's coming.
Yeah.
And the day of judgment isn't just for lost people. Please understand that. It's for people who think that they're not lost.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the churches every day. They're filling churches. They're filling synagogues.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they teach Torah. They know the Torah, but yet they are lost because they don't understand the love of Messiah. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand salvation and surrender and giving their life up. That's why this podcast exists. That's why my church, the church that Yahweh has told us to start. It's because we want people to understand love. And I hear this all the time with people who come into this community. So many times it's like, I say it's a broken record. It's a good broken record. Mm-hmm. Is that there's something special about this community.
Yeah.
And there is something special about it because we love. We show love. And even though we've had people come in and they've tried to wreck that out, man, listen, we still walk in love.
Yeah.
Because it's all about that. That's what Yeshua said. He said it's all about love. Even the greatest rabbis have said, man, if you want to know Torah, walk in love.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what defines Torah. That's what defines Torah people is love. Are we loving our neighbor? And our neighbor isn't just the people that agree with you. They're people that we disagree with, right?
That's right.
They're not just the people that come to church.
Mm-hmm.
They're people that are out there on the streets.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we've got to get our heads out of the sand. We got to start mattering and focusing on what matters. Mm-hmm. We got to start focusing on what's important. And what is important is Yeshua and demonstrating the love of Yeshua and getting out of these weeds of stuff that simply do not lead people to a relationship with Messiah.
That's right.
And you get around me for a minute, man, and you're going to hear that a lot because I love Jesus, man. I love my King, and that's what I want people. I want people to experience that.
Yeah.
Like, and I love him so much that I try to obey his Torah. And I'm just going to be the first to tell you if you never heard this, it's pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to do to try. Yeah. Anybody tells you that they've got it down, they're lying to you.
Yeah.
Because even the whole nation of Israel couldn't do it right.
Yeah.
That's why they needed Messiah.
Yeah.
Even that what Acts 15 tells us, right? Mm-hmm. He said, why are you trying to burden them with something that we couldn't do ourselves?
Yeah.
And you think you Gentiles out here who come to Torah 10, 15 years ago and think you've got the 411 on it and you think you got this? No, you don't. No, you don't, man. The first sin that I would tell you to need to probably deal with is probably a little pride.
Right. And just because you stop going to church on Sunday and go to church on Saturday now, that doesn't mean you...
It's nothing, man.
You're really keeping it. You know, because you can, I think you can do the letter of it.
Yeah.
It's easy to quit eating pork.
Come on.
You know, change your diet a little
bit. Change habits, man.
Change what day you go to church.
They do that at Sunday church, don't they?
You know?
Like Sunday, like we went to Sunday church and I met so many people who changed their habits.
Mm-hmm.
They changed their habits.
Yeah.
And like they look like they're Christian, but you know that they weren't. You know that they're not, man.
It's like you know, you. That's what Paul was saying in Galatians 3, that the law is not of faith. Well, because you can do the things that are in the Torah, not really have true faith. You know?
Come on.
Yeah. And it's like you can do things in the Torah and not have the fruit of the Spirit. You know?
So I know people that are in the Torah. That's so funny to hear this. I know people that are in the Torah, brother, that they're once saved, always saved. They're Calvinistic. They're Calvinist. Yeah. And I don't understand how that fits together. I'm not smart enough.
Yeah, sure.
How you can say you're Calvin and you follow the Torah?
Yeah.
Well, then what happens if you break Torah? Mm. You're okay? You're good?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. Okay. Anyhow, all right. We've rambled on for a lot. What we wanted to do today is just kind of give you a New Testament view of this office of the Levitical priesthood and the Melchizedekic. Yeah.
Melchizedekian.
Yeah. And for you to understand, and we may address it sometime. We may address the whole temple in heaven thing and try to help people understand that. But I don't think it's important right now. I think what's important is people understand that we do have a great high priest, and he's not a Levite.
Yeah. It's true. He's not.
He's Jesus.
Yeah.
He's not only the high priest, but he's the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
He's not only the sacrifice, but he's the king.
Yeah.
He's our savior. That's what matters, church. Mm-hmm. And don't you let anybody take that away from you. Don't you let anybody sway you in another way. You focus on Yeshua. And every time someone comes to you and they bring you a doctrine or a dogma that just goes, hey, I read this, and man, it's a, you need to say and learn this phrase, show me in the Bible. Show me in Scripture. Because 9 times out of 10,
can't do it.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
They can't do it. Mm-hmm. Praise God. We love you. God bless you, man. We are praying for you. If you have a comment, a question, or a concern, please feel free to email us at mike@epiclifetarot.com, or you can do the same with Tyler, tyler@epiclife.com, and we will try to respond to you.
Tarot.
What did I say?
Epic Life.
EpicLifeTarot.com. Pardon me. It's EpicLifeTarot.com. Put Mike in the front or put Tyler in the front. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
And we'll respond to you guys. Give us a thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed to our page, please do so. Share this with your friends, your family, and let them know that, hey, there's a podcast out here that we just love Jesus. And we have learned, man, that the Torah does matter. But what matters even more than Torah, I know this is crazy, is Messiah.
Yeah.
Messiah Yeshua. He's what matters in our life. And we want to see you live out the life that you were created to live in him, by him, and for him. God bless you. Until next time, we'll see you again.
Have a good day, you guys. See you next time.